both experience and study after study after study teach us that people are most receptive to the gospel when they are children. It's just a fact. It doesn't mean that we can't get saved at any age. At any age that you realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you put your faith and trust in Christ and repent of your sin, you will be saved. But the way God has wired us is that as children, we are more receptive to the simplicity of the gospel. I think that's part of it. As we get older, life gets complicated, and we tend to think things are more complicated. And sometimes that puts barriers in the way of our willingness to respond. Doesn't change the gospel message. But as children, we tend to be more receptive. So a lot of kids make decisions. I made my decision for Christ at 9 years old. Accepted Jesus at 9 years old. And a lot of you accepted Christ as your Savior when you were children. That is great. And we all know folks who have done that. As parents, you know your children. If they've done that, you know your kids have accepted Christ. But there's a question that comes along. Why is it then, if our kid comes to faith in Christ and they are baptized and they grow up in the church, why is it sometimes when they leave home, especially when they launch and leave home, that they go a different direction? Maybe even turn their back on church and turn their back on Christ and turn their back on the God that you had raised them to believe in. Why is that? I want to challenge us to think about that this morning in this term. I believe that happens not only for kids that grow up and go off to college and things like that. I think that happens for many of us because we are borrowing our faith instead of owning it. We are borrowing our faith instead of owning it. Here's what I mean by that. For 30 years of marriage, my wife and I did not own a pickup truck, so whenever we needed a truck, we borrowed a pickup truck. If we had to move furniture, we had to pick up stuff from the store, wouldn't fit in the car, we had to get mulch, we borrowed a pickup truck. I borrowed trucks from just about everybody in here that owns a truck in the last 11 years, and I hope I returned it, but we borrowed trucks and borrowed trucks and borrowed trucks over the years. All of those trucks had a couple of things in common. Without exception, every borrowed pickup truck had these same things in common. First of all, eventually it went back to the owner. It didn't belong to me. So while I took good care of it, eventually it was going to go back to the owner. The second thing they all had in common is I had no responsibility for that truck beyond my use of it and taking care of it while I was using it. I didn't take care of them. I took good care of them. But I had no other responsibility. I didn't have to change the oil. I didn't have to put new tires on it. Unless I messed it up, I didn't need to clean it up. I had no other responsibility for it because it was going to go back to the owner. I borrowed it. It wasn't mine. But if I was driving around Shalot in a borrowed pickup truck and people who did not know me saw me driving that borrowed pickup truck, they would think that truck was mine. But I knew better, and the owner knew better. That pickup truck was borrowed. So for 30 years of marriage, we borrowed pickup trucks. Last year, we bought a pickup truck. Kim insisted. We bought a pickup truck. Ownership is quite different. And the thing that's different about ownership is that you have responsibility. I now have responsibility for that pickup truck. I do have to change the oil. I do have to get tires on it. I do have to keep it clean. I'm careful about where I put it and where I park it. I want to take good care of it. I want it to last a long time. I even personalize it. I get to know it better. I know all its quirks, inside and out. Ownership is different because now I take responsibility for it. From the outside looking in, though, it's no different. If the same person saw me 3 years ago driving around in a borrowed pickup truck and they see me driving around in my pickup truck, they just figure I changed pickup trucks. They don't know either one of them are mine or not or borrowed unless they just happen to know me. But I know, and because I know, I take responsibility. Not only do I take responsibility for that truck, I take pride in that truck. And if anybody asks me a question about it, I'm happy to tell them about that truck. I want them to know about my truck. I'd be even excited to see them get the same truck as mine, because that's my truck. That's the difference between borrowing and owning. And that difference shows also in the difference between borrowed faith, living on borrowed faith, and owning your faith. and owning your faith. I believe that many people sitting in church today, maybe sitting right here, do not even realize they're living on borrowed faith. And everybody watching from the outside in, they think you own your faith, but the truth is you borrow your faith. And for a time, you borrow your faith. It doesn't belong to you. That's why so many believers at some time in their life drift away from faith, turn their backs on their faith, turn their backs on the church. Why? They never owned it in the first place. But discipleship is ownership. Discipleship creates depth, and it's ownership. And that's the difference. It's the reason that many of you come in here on Sunday morning and borrow faith from me. You borrow your faith from your pastors, your Sunday school teacher, your parents, your personal friends who bring you to church. But tomorrow morning, it's not going to make a bit of difference in your life. Why? Because you don't own it. You just borrowed it for the day. And then what did you do? You gave it back. We raise kids in Christian homes, and we teach them what we value. We teach them the truth, and then we are staggered and astonished when they turn their backs on all of that and walk away one day. Why? They gave it back. It wasn't theirs. They borrowed it all those years, but never owned it. Ownership is the difference. Ownership is discipleship, and discipleship changes our lives. As we continue in our study in the Kings this morning, we're going to look at a young man, one of the kings of Judah, and we will find this truth borne out in his life, that when the time came and a crisis hit in his life revealed that for all of his life he had been borrowing his faith and not owning it. If you have your Bible, find the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles in chapter 24. 2 Chronicles in chapter 24. So we looked this morning at a young man named Joash. Now last time we looked at King Asa. Joash is five kings later in the kingdom of Judah. So he is the eighth king of Judah during the time of the divided kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Look at verse 1 with me. The Bible says that Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah. She was from Beersheba. Throughout the time of Jehoiada, the priest, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now jump down to verse 15, chapter 24 and verse 15. Jehoiada died when he was old and full of days. He was 130 years old at his death. He was buried in the city of David with the kings because he had done what was good in Israel with respect to God and his temple. However, after Jehoiada died, the rulers of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they abandoned the temple of Yahweh, the God of their ancestors, and served the Asherah poles and the idols. So there was wrath against Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Nevertheless, God sent them prophets to bring them back to the Lord. They admonished them, but the people would not listen. At 7 years old, Joash becomes king. He's a boy. And as a boy, he needs a mentor. He needs someone who is wise in the ways of the kingdom, who is wise in what it means to be a godly king, but also what it means to be a godly man. So this priest, Jehoiada, becomes his mentor. And what we know of Jehoiada is that he is respected in the land, and he is a godly man, and people listen to him. And he takes Joash under his wing and teaches Joash how to be king. In the intervening verses that we did not read, there's a great portion of Joash's life that's summarized there, but it all points at one thing. It boils down to one thing, that Jehoiada led Joash to clean up the nation, especially to get rid of the idols, and in particular, an idol to a Canaanite fertility god called Asherah. And Asherah poles were all throughout the land. They were places of ritual fertility worship. And that's exactly what it sounds like. The ritual fertility worship involved sensuality and sexuality. And the Canaanite gods were often worshipped that way. And as you can imagine, God despised not just idolatry, but this particular kind of idolatry. And it was spread throughout the land. Well, Jehoiada leads Joash to get rid of all that, to pull all that down. And God is pleased with that. So God is blessing the land, and things are going well. And then suddenly the priest, Jehoiada, dies. He lives 130 years, the Bible says, but he dies. And almost immediately, Joash no longer serves God, no longer worships God. Joash changes immediately. And I believe the reason for that is really very simple. I believe for all of his life, Joash was borrowing his faith from the priest. He respected him, he followed him, he listened to him. But perhaps without even knowing it, without even realizing it, Joash was borrowing his faith from Jehoiada. And once Jehoiada was gone, once that restraint was removed, it showed Joash who he really was and showed the world who Joash really was. That all that time, he never owned his faith. He was just borrowing it from his mentor. I believe this is a key issue and problem for most of us in the church. It doesn't necessarily reveal that we are not saved, but not having ownership of your faith means you are vulnerable to anything that comes along. And not having ownership of your faith means that once that restraint is gone, whoever is your mentor, whoever is your teacher, your pastors, your parents, whoever that is, once that is gone, your faith may not be sustainable. It's certainly not reliable. But for our faith to grow, for our faith to be sustainable, for it to be solid in Christ, we must own our faith. That's what it means to be a disciple. It belongs to you. It doesn't belong to your parents. It doesn't belong to your pastor. It belongs to you. You don't come in here on Sunday morning and borrow your faith in Christ from me, then go out and live in the world as you like. That's not faith in Christ. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is coming to grow in your faith. Discipleship is being nurtured in your faith. I believe one of the reasons that so few believers ever share the gospel with anyone is because they lack ownership in their own faith. Remember, if you own something, you're proud of it. You want to tell people about it. But we lack discipleship. We lack depth. We lack ownership. So we are not telling anybody about it. We have no passion for it because we never own it. I want to challenge you to take a hard look at your heart this morning and ask yourself if that's what's going on in your life, that you've been relying on other people's faith, and from the outside you look pretty good. Nobody looking in may even realize that you're borrowing your faith. But God knows it, and you know it, and when times come, it will reveal it. Let's consider that together for a moment. I want you to consider with me the liabilities of borrowed faith, because it will show up in your life. Borrowed faith always falters. Always. Borrowed faith is not reliable. It always falters. So look at this with me for a moment. Go back to the story. I want you to see, first of all, that borrowed faith falters at turning points. Borrowed faith falters at turning points. Jehoiada lived to be 130 years old. God blessed him with a long life because he served God and he obeyed God. 130 years is longer than many of the heroes of the faith in the Old Testament. That's a long time for God to keep him on the earth and let him serve. And in that time, he became so respected among the people of God that when he died, even as a priest, he was buried with the kings. That says a lot about his reputation, a lot about his godliness, a lot about what they believed in him, what they thought of him. But that's a critical turning point for young Joash. A critical turning point for this man. Because suddenly, his mentor is gone. Suddenly, the source of his borrowed faith is gone. He hits a primary turning point in his life, and he abandons his faith. It's a very simple truth. The turning points in life will expose the strength of our faith. The turning points in life will reveal the strength of our discipleship, whether we are owning our own faith or borrowing it for someone else. Because to be strong in your faith, to walk through difficult times, means that you own that faith. You've been nurturing it yourself. You've been personalizing it yourself. You've been reading God's Word. You've developed a life of prayer. You're growing in your faith. And when those hard times hit, those turning points hit, your faith is revealed to be your faith, not somebody else's, that you're just borrowing for a time. And it doesn't have to be hard times. It can be good times also. Big changes and turning points in life of any kind reveal our faith, the strength of our faith. It could be a new job. It could be going to college. It could be a new relationship. On the other side of it, it could be financial problems. It could be medical issues. It could be the loss of a loved one. But those turning point times, all of our lives, will reveal to us the strength of our faith and will reveal those who have borrowed their faith instead of owning it. Again, I believe this is why we see so many kids. Once they leave home, once they leave the source of restraint, once they leave the place where they're trying to please their parents, suddenly they walk away. Why do they do that? Because all that time, mom and dad, they were borrowing their faith from you, and they didn't own it. Borrowed faith will always falter. And one of the times it falters and fails are those turning point times in life. Second, borrowed faith is easily influenced. It's easily influenced. Borrowed faith doesn't have the strength to stand up to outside pressure and outside influences. Joash could not have had a better mentor than Jehoiada. He could not have had a better godly man to show him the way and to teach him what to do. But we read that as soon as Jehoiada died, the Bible says the rulers of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and the king listened to them. And the result of that was they abandoned God, and they abandoned God's ways, and they turned right around and set up those Asherah poles again all throughout the land. They recreated the ritual idolatry that God so despised because Joash listened to the officials. Now, these officials have they've been bad news for a while. If we were to review their reputation, we'd find it is not nearly as stellar as Jehoiada's or any other godly person. But Jehoiada served as a restraint to them also. He kept them back. And the people had too much respect for Jehoiada to do otherwise, so they did what Jehoiada and Joash wanted. Then suddenly, this priest is gone, and now these men step up, and they exploit the situation, they exploit the opportunity, they step in this turning point moment, and they say to Joash, you know, the people will love you, the people will like you, whatever they said, if you'll just do what they want you to do. The reason I think that's what they said is because that's where most of us crumble on borrowed faith. We want to be liked. And when the crowd comes in, the crowd says, hey, just do this. Hey, just do that. Our faith is tested. And we find out we didn't own our faith anyway. We've been borrowing it from somebody else, and our faith fails under the influence of others. Borrowed faith is easily influenced. It always is. Because we want to please other people. If we own our faith, we want to please God. But if we borrow our faith, we want to please other people. And we are willing to abdicate to those other people and to their influence. I would imagine they made this very enticing for Joash. As you'll recall, he became king at 7 years old. And not long after that, with the priest, he entered into a campaign to clean up the country of these ritual shrines and this idolatry. So he never actually lived in the country where that idolatry was that rampant. So no doubt they made it very enticing to him. They said, hey, you need to think about it. This is actually a lot of fun. It's a fertility cult. So people have a lot of fun when they go to the Asherah ritual sites and worship her. And they'll love you for it. They'll like you for that. Borrowed faith is always easily influenced. In the book of James, we have a word about that. James chapter 1 says, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Borrowed faith is unstable. It creates indecisive people who are easily influenced by outside forces. Those outside influences that push you away from the people of God, that push you away from other godly influences, that lead you out into the things of the world, those ungodly influences and those folks that step in the gap and say, hey, just listen to us, everything will be better. But true discipleship is ownership. True discipleship, true ownership, gives you courage and confidence in Christ. It gives you the courage to stand against those influences. It gives you the wisdom to discern the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. Ownership means that you're spending your time building your faith and growing in Christ. So when those influences come, you recognize them and you have the ability, the strength to stand against them. Ownership of your faith is always reliable. It's always reliable. And it's always sustainable. Then last, borrowed faith fails to develop character. Borrowed faith fails to develop character. The Bible teaches that God has a goal for you as a believer. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, God's goal is to make you like Jesus, to invest in you the character of Christ and make you more like Christ. So when does that character show up? That character shows up when you're under pressure, when you're in need of that character, when you have to make decisions, when you hit turning points, when you have influences come into your life. The character of Christ will show up. And if the character of Christ is not there, it will reveal the character of a borrowed faith. For Joash, it was pride. You know, we read in the Bible, they paid homage to the king. Now that implies they had not done that before. That implies that they waited till the priest was gone. And the term means that they came in and they bowed low. They really groomed his ego. They appealed to his pride. They came in and said, "You're a great king. The people love you. And there's something you can do that they'll love you anymore, even more than they already love you. Joash, you're a wonderful king. You don't need Jehoiada. You just need to listen to us." They bowed low to him. And who of borrowed faith doesn't love people to love them? Because that's what borrowed faith is all about. Borrowed faith is revealed in our character flaws, in our poor judgment, in our pride, in our lack of integrity. Borrowed faith shows up because we're not becoming more and more like Christ. We're drifting away from those moorings. We're drifting away from who God wants us to be. And God wants to reveal that Christ-like character in us. Discipleship means that God is making us more like Christ. Ownership means that God is changing our character to be more like Christ. But if we borrow our faith, eventually we're just going to give that faith back to whoever we borrowed it from. And our character will reveal the flaws that are really there. This is why you and I can know if we've been borrowing our faith or if we really own our faith. Because it shows in who we really are. And people from the outside looking in, they look at us and say, "Oh, y'all look like Christians." Whatever Christian looks like. But all y'all look like Christians. And everybody looks really good. It's Sunday morning. You're polished up. You look good. From the outside looking in, we couldn't tell the difference between borrowed faith and ownership. But it shows up in your character. It shows up in hard times. It shows up when you have to make decisions. It shows up when you choose your friends. It shows up in who you listen to. And it shows up in your integrity or your lack of integrity. But it will show up. Sarah Drew, the actress Sarah Drew, is a graduate of the University of Virginia. Is best known for roles in Mad Men and Grey's Anatomy. And this year, Sarah Drew delivered the commencement address at the University of Virginia. Sarah Drew is also a committed follower of Christ. She's a Christian. And her short and sweet commencement address focused in on this fundamental truth, that who you really are will show in your character, not from the outside, but who you are on the inside. This is what she said. She said, "When the camera isn't on you, what do you do? Who are you really in real life?" And she said, "I'm talking to the real you, not the carefully curated social media version of you." Because she said, let's be clear, all of that world is a stage. And when we step on that stage, we're just players performing for the audience. And most of the time, people will not know who you really are. But life reveals who you are. She said, whether you're the intern or the CEO, whether you're running your household or running a company, you're living in a basement or living in a penthouse or you're doing grunt work or getting the glory, life will show who you really are. And life is always rolling, she said. It shows who you really are. Your character will show up in those turning point times. And for believers, that means it will demonstrate whether your faith is borrowed faith or whether you own your faith and you're growing as a disciple and becoming more and more like Christ every day. And that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you work on it. It happens because you develop as a disciple. It happens because you take responsibility for your discipleship. You don't come in on Sunday morning and borrow it from the pastor. You work on it day by day. You learn to know Christ better. You walk with Christ closely. You say, Christ, change these things in my life. You read the Word of God. You pray. You interact with godly people. You develop relationships and friendships that will feed that part of your life. Because you know what really matters is not what people see from the outside, but it's who you are on the inside. I love the theme of Vacation Bible School this year, submerged. Because it's what's below that really matters. Not what people see on the surface, but what's below that really matters. And I want to ask you a question this morning. You know your heart, and God knows your heart. You know what's really underneath that facade you try to show the world. So let me ask you, what's underneath? Is it borrowed faith? And as soon as you're out of here, you give it back. Or is it ownership? You're growing as a disciple. You're struggling with the best believers in prayer and Bible study and learning God's word. God's changing your character. You hit those turning points and you see God work in your life. You don't abandon it. You don't give it back. Say, this is my faith. I own this faith. It's mine personally between me and God, and He's growing me, and I'm learning. This is who I really am. Is that you? If you realize this morning that all this time, you've been living on borrowed faith, I want to challenge you to take ownership today. I want to challenge you to say, God, forgive me for living on borrowed faith. God, in the time I've got here, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to start owning my faith, living the truth, learning it, being who you want me to be. There's a lot that God wants to do through your life. So would you say today, God, I'm not borrowing my faith anymore. Now I'm going to own my faith and be a disciple of Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, maybe there's one or two in this room, God, that this morning realized they've been living on borrowed faith. And it's failed. It's faltered. We have crumbled, God. Father, you're a forgiving God, but we have to ask. So, Father, today I pray you would move us to repentance. You would move us to change. You would move us, God, to acknowledge that we have turned our backs even on the borrowed faith. And God, instead, we take ownership today. Father, I pray for that one or two in here, first, that need Jesus as their Savior, that they would trust Christ, our Lord and Savior, to save them from their sins today. And I pray for those believers, God, that this morning realize that you're talking to them, that they need to come back to you to take ownership and discipleship in their faith and to walk with Christ today. I pray for others, Father, who need to make other decisions and commitments today. But God, you know our hearts. You know what's going on, God. You know what we need to pray about, what we need to ask forgiveness for, what you're working out in our lives. So God, we're an open book, Father. Please work in our hearts, our lives, and our minds this morning, that we would make those decisions that would please you, God, and put us on the path to ownership.